Thank you for joining us at the Roundtable.
Brought to you by Community Education Arts, a nonprofit organization based in Noblesville, Indiana.
I'm Alice Cavanaugh Scober, President of CE Arts.
And I'm Sarah E. Morin, Secretary of CE Arts. Let's sit down at the Roundtable.
Hey everybody, it's Alice with Community Education Arts. Thanks for joining us again at the Roundtable. I have with me today Christine. Christine, please introduce yourself to our audience.
Hey, my name is Christine Staley. I'm 62 years young. And I've been very interested in art in terms of painting, oil, acrylic, and watercolors for the past 2.5 years. So I'm somewhat retired right now. So this is my favorite pastime, keeping myself entertained.
Okay. And, do you have a arts business name, or do you just use your personal name?
Well, I haven't, I don't have an arts name. I'm just using my own name.
Okay.
I have a commission to a relative, but I really haven't sold any of my work yet.
Okay. So you're an emerging artist at 62 years young. I like that. Well, before we even go any further, do you have a piece you'd like to hold up and show us?
Yes.
Or hanging on the wall, or, if you have to move around, we're patient,
Yeah. I will show you an oil painting that I'm in the process of completing.
Okay. So, and while you're showing that, I'm going to tell our podcast audience that we will have a video up on our YouTube channel, and then with the podcast on the website, you're going to send me some files, and I'll be able to put pieces of your artwork up with the podcast on the website, so they'll be able to see kind of what you do while they're listening to the podcast. Oh, that's lovely. I love it. Beautiful.
Yeah. I'm still considering whether to, add some additional colors, or just to maybe do a second one with different colors in it.
Oh, but, interesting. Yeah.
So that's an oil painting.
Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
This one, let me know if you can see it okay.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
This one was my original, and it's an acrylic.
Okay.
So I've never painted the same thing twice until now.
It's kind of hard to paint the same thing twice, in my experience. I've sold pieces and then had someone say, oh, I want one just like that's already sold. And I was like, okay, well, I'll paint it again. And, it never looks exactly like the first one. It's very hard. It's very hard to recreate.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you, when did you first know that, art was your destiny?
Well, like I said, I did it just to help myself relax.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been, a little therapeutic for me. It just helps me delve into a lot of detail. And I started watching YouTube. And also, I went to a canvas.
Like a wine and canvas party kind
of
thing?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And this is my wine and canvas.
Oh, nice.
It's changed a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you can see it very well.
No, that looks, I love the colors.
That was my wine and canvas. So that's the very first painting I ever did, which was a couple years ago.
I see. Yeah. So you really picked this up very recently. I mean, a lot of times we talk to people and, they had an interest in art as a child, or, when they were younger and then came back to it. Do you feel like this is just like so new that it really is just like in the last couple of years you've picked this up for the very first time?
Actually, I was pretty talented as a child. Mm-hmm. I used to be able to draw people's faces.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to eventually get back to doing portraits, but I'm I just recently tried a little sketch mm-hmm. of a person, but it still looks pretty cartoonish. So I don't know.
Well, and I think that's really interesting that you say that, because I think a lot of us are starting to realize in the world in general that children have, you know, talents, whether it's music or painting or drawing or writing, uh-huh. that sometimes gets, for lack of a better word in this moment, kind of squelched along the way. And it's hard yeah. to recapture that initial almost innate talent that you might have had. And so I really admire you for attacking that and trying to establish that with you. Now I've found in these interviews that we do with people that it's really fun to find out a little bit more about people's background and how that background may or may not have influenced where they are in their artwork now. So my prompt questions are kind of like, where are you from? Where'd you grow up? Where do you live now? So if you want to kind of give us a little bit of that, it would be very exciting to learn.
Well, my family moved to Noblesville in 1973. We came from Greencastle, Indiana, and beyond that, Dyersville, Iowa, then from Marinette, Wisconsin, and then my parents are from Duluth, Minnesota.
Oh, wow.
So
okay.
They're kind of Midwest.
Yeah, I was going to say Midwest girl through and through, right?
yeah. So I did graduate from Noblesville High School in 1976. And I went to IU in Bloomington for my bachelor's degree. And I eventually moved back to Indianapolis and had a long career in the health insurance industry. I did a lot of different jobs within the health insurance industry, such as provider relations rep, customer service rep, health educator was my the last job I had, and I had that for about 11 years.
Wow.
So I have two master's degrees. I have a master's of science in management from Indiana Wesleyan, and then I have a second master's in public health from the IU School of Medicine Department of Public Health. That was their name before they changed to the Fairbanks School of Public Health.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So
are you, do you live in Noblesville now?
Yes.
Did I hear that right? Okay.
I live in Noblesville.
Yeah. And so do you feel like this, the career that you had before that, I mean, to me, that sounds like some of those jobs would have been very stressful in the health environment, just because you're dealing with people, you're dealing with different health issues and paperwork and administrative and all that stuff. Do you feel like that has had any influence on how you feel about artwork in general and how you feel about what you're doing now in terms of expressing what ends up on canvas for you, I guess? I mean, I don't know. Some people say, oh, my background is so different and it has nothing to do with the artwork that I'm doing now. And some people say that it's really informed, you know, where they are now in the place in their life. So how do you feel about that?
Well, in a sense it has, but I think what I like about my artwork is that there is a love of nature. There's lots of vibrant colors, mm-hmm. but sometimes there's also what could be perceived as a different perspective, or there's some fantasy involved. And I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, realizing I was going to retire young, you know, and mm-hmm. certainly, you know, the COVID-19 had a lot to do with my thinking, well, maybe it would be safer just to stay home.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
So, but this is a painting that I did when, you know, I realized I needed to retire.
Uh-huh.
And can you see it okay?
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I'd like for you to send me the file of that one if you have a good photo of that one. That one would look really great. I think the colors and the it has a unique look from my perspective, you know, through Zoom. It's very unique, uh-huh. and I would like that to be one of the ones that we maybe put up on the website to illustrate your art.
I see what
you mean about having that sense of fantasy in it, and the color choices that you've used and the way you've for lack of a better word, laid out the elements of your painting. I find that very intriguing.
Yes, well, you know, from how I see the painting is, this is like an earth planet right here.
Mm-hmm.
Right in that corner is kind of a moon planet. And this is kind of an exploding sun and space debris. So, you know, it's kind of a feeling like, I don't want to say doomsday, but, you know.
Yeah, well, things are changing. Let's say this. Let's say things are changing. It's like the tower card in tarot cards. It's always like such a bad omen, you know, but it really means that things are changing, right? You know?
Right. So, things are changing. Mm-hmm. Things that you expect to be constant are not constant.
Mm-hmm. Which leads me right into my next question for you. And I think you're kind of on track to address it, but, you know, your art's journey has been relatively short compared to some people we've talked to before. So, you know, for a couple years now you've been doing this, but, I always try to ask people if they have any words to share, any stories to share about overcoming any obstacles or discouragements, and then what highlights in their journey have helped inspire them to keep going. Because the reason I ask this question, or this double-sided question, if you will, is because every artist I've ever talked to has addressed the roller coaster ride effect of being artistic, that you have these highs where maybe you've gotten a good reaction or a prize, or, you know, you've won something through your art. And then you have those lows where no one wants to hear your music. No one wants to buy your artwork, whatever. And, you know, so, that's something that artists share, is that kind of roller coaster ride journey. So I just wondered, in the short time you've been being an artist, how you feel about that aspect of being a creative person.
Well, I guess the only experience I've really had is, you know, sharing my art with my friends. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes I post on Facebook and I get people who say they really love my work. I really haven't had any, you know, success because I haven't really been out there showing my work anywhere. And, you know, a lot of it is, you know, I wasn't quite sure, you know, how to present it. You know, do I have the right canvas, or do I have to buy the canvas that, you know, is a certain width?
Right. Yeah, no, I know exactly what you mean. That's a very, when you're first starting out and you've never hung a piece in a gallery or on a wall that's other than your own wall at home, it is very hard to know what are the rules, what are the guidelines. And in my experience, almost every gallery or exhibit space has different guidelines. You know, if they haven't got that posted publicly somewhere, ask them, because believe me, they've got their standards, and, you know, they'll be more than happy to tell you. And so I think that's
kind
a challenge.
Of where I'm at right now, just trying to figure out where, you know, I can actually show my stuff. And I have another example too of something that I've done that, you know, I could sell like in a gift shop.
Mm-hmm.
So this is an example of a watercolor, and it's color pencil and it's ink, and it's just a little card. See.
Oh, pretty. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, that, definitely in a gift shop. That'd be lovely. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's got an envelope with it, mm-hmm. and I'm thinking about having two cards in one.
Always
pocket.
Good to give people a bargain, right? Where they can have two. Yeah. Yeah. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I was also going to ask you a little bit in terms of, like, your art's journey. Do you feel like being so new to art and expressing yourself through art, you had mentioned at the very, very beginning that it's very therapeutic for you. And, you know, with the COVID-19 impact on our entire world and adjustments that we're making by, you know, quarantining, isolating, slowly reopening places out there in the real world, how do you feel like that has affected you as an artist? And, you know, has it affected you, like, as a person, as an artist, in what comes out on the canvas, you know what I mean? Just in general.
Yeah, I think so. I think it has affected me in that, you know, I feel more isolated mm-hmm. than before. I had been working, you know, earlier this year and last year, you know, in two different part-time jobs. And, you know, I had the school closed. I was working as an instructional assistant at North Elementary. And the school closed in March, you mm-hmm. know, due to mm-hmm. the COVID-19.
Yeah.
And then I was also working part-time at Walmart. But I wasn't feeling very well. I kept, you know, getting sick.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to stop working there. So, you know, I'm kind of an introvert anyway. Mm-hmm. So, you know, having a lot of alone time, you know, I'm fine with it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. I feel like in your situation, since you've been painting for 2 years, going into this year, you know, it probably was difficult to realize that maybe you'd been thinking about, you know, starting to try to exhibit somewhere, and suddenly everything's closed, you know, everything's shut down. And so, you know, with, you know, for established artists, it's kind of like, okay, well, I'm going to sit at home and work on my craft, you know, I'm going to try some new techniques or something. But I think for emerging artists, that would have been kind of a real blow to just be suddenly faced with, hey, there's no place to, you know, you're just starting to gear up and get excited about maybe potentially putting your artwork out there in an exhibit somewhere on walls, you know, where people can see it. And then suddenly all the places are closed. And I know that, you know, that there are some places, that some galleries that are being very, really great about, you know, having some virtual exhibits, like with Nickel Plate Arts. And we have on Community Education Arts website, we have some virtual exhibits that go up every couple mm-hmm. months. And that has kept my, you know, artistic soul kind of nurtured. But it's really not the same. It's not the same experience for the artist or the people looking at the art, because there's something about being in the room, standing by your piece of artwork on the wall, having people come up and talk to you about it. It's that exchange between the artist and the person looking at it, and it's that conversation that can really, really be so inspiring and supportive and encouraging, especially to an emerging artist. I don't care how young of an age you might be, you know, if you're just really starting out, that feedback in person is so precious. And it's so wonderful. Yes. And I want you to have that. I'm hoping that, you know, you will soon be able to have, you know, gallery experiences in person with people. Now, maybe everybody will hopefully be wearing masks and keep each other safe. Mm-hmm. But I really do hope that happens soon for you, because I think your artwork is beautiful.
I would love it. Yeah, I would love to have that opportunity. But
yeah, well, and that really leads me to my last question on our little interview is, you know, what's on the artistic horizon for you? Not just in terms of exhibiting, but just in terms of, you know, do you have any themes in mind for artwork that you're going to be working on? Or is there anything new that you're looking forward to tackling or trying out or anything like that? Just what are your plans as an artist for the next few whiles, shall we say?
Well, there's so much that I love. I have a Pinterest thing where, you know, there's different things that I've been looking at, and as well as, you know, portraiture and ceramics and, you know, additional oil painting. And, you know, I want to continue with my cards, you know, just trying to generate a little extra income.
Yeah.
You know, at this time. So I would love to be involved in more classes, but I find I can get a lot of classes on YouTube that are far less expensive than having to pay, you know, hundreds and hundreds of dollars.
I know. And I think, I think the whole world is coming to terms with the need for art mm-hmm. and the fact that so many people don't have the money to pay to, you know, connect with the arts in a lot of ways. And this is a huge challenge for arts organizations and artists in general. I know musicians are really hard hit right now without having the venues that they're used to performing in. And, you know, doing free concerts online or asking for donations is not generating the same kind of money as a ticket sale would. So artists of all kinds are impacted by a lot of the stuff that's going on in our world right now. I would encourage you to just keep keep looking and applying and submitting to places like Nickel Plate Arts and the for our organization, Community Education Arts. You know, we do a lot of projects that have artwork elements to them. My brain, it just went completely blank. But we have two annual projects, our NICE project and our Polk Street Review project. And both of those have elements of actual artwork in them, even though the Polk Street Review project is culminates with a publication, a book. But we like to have artwork in the book, because if you're just reading, and you don't have anything to break up, it's a submissions-driven project. Everything in it comes from writers, musicians, and artists. And so if you read three poems and two short stories before you see a piece of artwork, you're, you know, it's like, oh my God. I put the book together, and I always try to put a piece of artwork every 2 to 3 works, you know. So if it's like two poems in a story, then a piece of artwork, or you know what I mean? I because I really do believe that artwork kind of breaks up that just, you know, chapter book feel of reading. So chapter book is a phrase that I learned when my children were in at North Elementary, as a matter of fact, you know, a long time ago. Chapter book. I'm like, what's a chapter book? I remember when my daughter first came home and said she was reading a chapter book, and I'm like, what's a chapter book? Then I realized it's just a book with chapters, and I'm like, okay, you know. So
Anyway. I really like the 2020, the Polk Street Review. I've got one, and, you know, I've been reading, you know, the different entries for the, you know, the different essays as well as the artwork. And I thought, I thought when I picked it up, you know, that a lot of my artwork would go great. Yes. You know, in a publication like this.
Yes, and having seen your artwork, I really think so. Now, next year's, the 2021 book, we already have the theme for it. It's going to be Family Traditions, Old and New, which I think is real. We didn't know about the global pandemic when we selected that as the theme for next year's book, but it's so amazing to me that it's going to fit so well with the changes in our world, because everybody's family's traditions have like had to change this year. You know, we're not doing birthday celebrations like we used to, you know. It's like drive-by graduation parties, you know. So I mean, there's so much that people can do with that theme. But we've always said with our publication that artwork submissions don't necessarily have to meet the theme, because it's harder for an artwork piece to really, you know, adhere to a theme prompt, you know, especially if you deal in semi-abstract or abstract arts. Mm-hmm. It's kind of hard to do an abstract that, you know, you say, oh, well, this meets the theme perfectly. So we just love to get a lot of different kinds of artwork. And I can tell by the colors and the stylings of your work that they would work really well with the book. I would encourage you to get really good high resolution, large format file images before you put any gloss protective coatings on your work. I don't know, some people with acrylics, they'll use a gloss medium to coat the pieces before, you know, at the end, and sometimes that can cause some really bad, like, reflective shine in the images and everything. But if you can do that and send us some files, the deadline, our annual deadline is always December 31st. So you have plenty of time to send us some great images. But I really thank you so much for talking with me today and being willing to come on our podcast. And I look forward to getting your image files so that I can put them up on the website with the audio file of this. And then we'll have the corresponding video portion of it to be on our YouTube channel. So that'll be great. I'm very excited. And go ahead.
I really don't have a great camera.
Right.
But, you know, if I could possibly borrow one, I could, you know, that has an upload link on it, I'd be more than happy to give you those files.
Okay.
You know, I don't know that, you know, my cell phone is going to give you what you want.
Yeah, I would suggest, you know, the cell phone, I don't know what kind of phone you have, it doesn't really matter, but check your camera settings on the cell phone and just make sure they're set to the highest resolution and your best resolution on your cell phone, as long as, you know, you have the ability to kind of like maybe have your phone, you know, propped on something so it's not shaking while you take the photo, you know. That's the biggest uh-huh. thing that causes bad resolution in photos is shaking of the camera or phone. And so if you can get a fairly steady, you know, shot, should be okay. Uh-huh. Go ahead and send me those for this okay. purposes of our podcast. And then, you know, we can talk further on down the road if I get these files from you and say, oh, these are fine for the podcast and on the website, they're not going to print well, because that's the thing with a publication, with a book, the printing process alone can change how well the image looks, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Sure. And so that's why we always try to encourage people to, even if they don't have a good camera, find someone who does in their friends or their family or something, other uh-huh. artists that they know, and get someone to take some shots of their work that would print well. So, but that all can be dealt with down the road.
Sure.
Yeah. So, okay. Well, I feel like we've done a great job with our recording, and I'm very pleased. And I thank you so much for joining me on this wonderful podcast that we have called At the Roundtable with yeah. Community
Could I
Education
show you just
Arts.
A couple more things?
Sure. Go ahead.
Okay, I noticed that you had an octopus on your sofa.
Oh, so, yeah, that's my grandson's little Mr. Bubbles, yeah.
Uh-huh. So I wanted to show you this little octopus that I made. Can you see it okay?
I've not seen anything, but look, nope. I think your audio might have, your video might have frozen or something. I'm not sure.
Nope. Uh-oh. Yeah. Okay. Let's see here. Okay.
There, now we're moving again. Oh, yeah, that's cool. Yeah. Yeah.
I thought that was kind of a fun illustration.
Yeah,
one of
you've
the
got some really great pieces. Yeah, you need to get some really good photographs of these, because you've got so much detail. Yeah. And that's another thing. With the kind of detail that you do, you're gonna uh-huh. want to get some images that show that detail. You know.
Yeah.
Otherwise, that's going to look... If you don't have good quality resolution, like that piece you're showing me right now, if that's not a really good quality image, that's just going to look really murky. But with the quality image, you're going to see all that detail, and it's going to pop, you know. So,
favorite pieces.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. You've got some amazing detail in your work. I really enjoyed talking with you about it and seeing those pieces. That's beautiful.
Another one.
Mm-hmm. I like that. Mm-hmm. That's gorgeous. All right.
Lots of nature stuff.
Yeah, well, nature. I mean, that's what we're all drawn to nature, aren't we? I don't think I've ever met an artist who wasn't like, oh, nature's one of my biggest inspirations, you know. So, yeah.
This one's pretty wild.
Yeah, that's got some gorgeous color to it. I'd love to have a really good resolution of that one, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Well, now you've got a new challenge for your arts journey, is getting a digital record of your artwork in quality format. That's a yeah. challenge for all artists. So, but I seriously do encourage you to do that, because that would also allow you to sell more prints. You know, you'll be able to sell more prints of your work if uh-huh. you have quality. High resolution, large format files of your work. So thank you so much, Christine. It was a pleasure to meet you and talk with you.
Well, thank you, and you as well, Alice. And,
okay.
I enjoyed your piece in the book review.
Oh, thank you.
With the purple hair.
Oh, yeah. That's me. Okay. All right. Oh, we'll talk again. Okay.
Okay.
Thank
All
you.
Right, thank you.
This has been At the Roundtable with Alice
and Sarah E.
of Community Education Arts.
Our nonprofit organization is based in Noblesville, Indiana. You can find us online at cearts.org.
This activity made possible in part with support from the Indiana Arts Commission and the National Endowment for the Arts, a federal agency.
We'd like to thank James Weston for writing our intro music and for his technical savvy.
Join us next time
at the Roundtable.